Turn your Bibles, Psalm 24. So the Lord led me back into this. I'm going to get into this really, really deep today. It's amazing what God can pack in about eight scriptures here. I'm going to talk to you about verse 2-8. One of the most prophetic chapters of our generation. David wrote this for our generation. This wasn't even for his time. It was for us. So let's just pick it up in verse 3. He said, who shall ascend into the hill? It's actually another translation, is mountain. Who shall ascend into the mountain of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity or idolatry, nor sworn deceitfully. Said, I gotta have clean hands and a pure heart. Cannot ascend into the mountain of the Lord without that. So once you get into the mountain of the Lord, once you get there, here's what you receive. So when you get into the mountain, you have to have clean hands, pure heart, not lifting your soul to vanity, not sworn deceitfully. That gets you there. Amen. That's your qualification to get there. But then you're going to receive something while you're there. And what you're going to receive is verse 5, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Now watch this. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. So I have to have righteousness to get righteousness. You see the catch 22 there? I got to have something to get something. So I have to have righteousness to obtain righteousness. So obviously, the clean hands and a pure heart righteousness is a little different than the righteousness you're going to receive while you're there. These are two different realms. Neither one of them can be achieved by works. In other words, I don't care how good you are. I want you to go to Galatians 3 for a minute. Paul, while you're going over there, the book of Philippians said, he says, the things that I count as one in Christ, he goes, I count all things but dung that I may win Christ and what? Be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Now, you're talking about a guy. In fact, go to Philippians. I want you to see that. Then we'll go over to Galatians. Go to Philippians. I want you to see what Paul's saying here. Because it's important how we approach God. He's going to tell you how to approach him. And then you're going to receive something from him there. So Paul goes in Philippians chapter 3 to his pre-qualification before being found in Christ. This is the guy that God saved. He had a lot going for him. Verse 4. He goes, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinks that he can, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Here's his qualification. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Age 7 years, they had to memorize the entire Torah at 7 years old to be a Pharisee. He says, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness, watch this, that was in the law, I was blameless. In other words, do you understand what that takes? The rule, regulation, the righteous commandments, God gave 10 commandments not because anybody could keep it. He gave it to them to show them you can't keep it. Then he gave him a commandment to keep it, and he pronounced a curse on everyone who could not keep it, knowing they couldn't keep it. Then that was called the curse of the law. We'll get into that in a second. I want you to see that. But Paul said, concerning this law thing, duty, I was blameless. Do you understand that you could even pick up a piece of firewood on a Sabbath day? You'd get stoned for that kind of thing. How'd you like to live in that kind of order? I get a kick out of people who want to go back into that kind of thing. It's okay to go enjoy your roots and celebrate things, but don't go keeping something because that's going to make you more righteous. You start keeping things and start doing things to try to earn, you're already missing the mark. Concerning the righteousness of the law, he said, I was blameless. But then what did he say about it? He said, even all of that being blameless, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. And notice what he said in verse 9. This is it right here. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Paul found something else outside of his own works. Toil, labor, good deeds, merit system. And he could keep it blameless. If he could keep it blameless and he counted it but dung, all his efforts in trying to please God by keeping this thing, Paul said, I counted but dung. He was actually in the Tullian keep when he was writing this. So when he said, I counted but dung, he was standing in the sewer system of Rome. That's where they chained him when he wrote this book. So he's standing in human waste. He goes, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ and be found. So he learned to be found in Christ standing, not his own. You'll never be perfect enough. Who shall ascend to the Lord? I don't care if you can keep the law perfectly. That's not your qualification. He, the clean hands and the pure heart is not something you can obtain in yourself. It's called the righteousness of God, which is what? Of faith, or justified by faith. I want you to go for a minute. I want you to see this. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Then I'm going to jump back to Psalms 24. Romans 3:19 and Galatians 3 says the same thing. I'll just choose one of them. Let's look at verse 10. Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. There's several curses in the world, by the way. There's a curse that comes by the law of sin and death. That's not this law. Law of sin and death is what you inherited from Adam. This law God gave, but there was a curse attached to it. And here's the curse. For as many as are under the law were under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of this law to do them. In other words, God gives this law, commands them to keep it, knowing they couldn't. Why did he do that? It was a schoolmaster. It was to school them in the fact that you are not like me. And as much as you try to be like me, you will never obtain. This law was given to show you your sin. And the more you tried to keep it, the worse it got. Christ redeemed us from that. But it was to school them, and all they could do is see their sin, and then they had to go slay the blood of an innocent animal to atone for their sin, and they lived under that system continuously. All their days. And they never could get free of it. We don't live under that system. It says, verse 11, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Say, I cannot be justified in the sight of God by my works, by my goodness, no matter what I do. That does not give you excuse to go do what you want to do. Because if you do what you want to do, you can get trouble on the other side. But you can't stand justified in the sight of God by how good you are. Even if you're Mary Poppins. I mean, you can just be the sweetest, nicest person ever. You're still not justified. You can't stand in the mountain of God on your own merit. Which means that that scripture that David was speaking about, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, that had to be obtained not by works, but by faith, or justification that comes by faith. In other words, Christ did it for me, fulfilled it, turned around and gave me his standing, In fact, Hebrews said that we are forever perfected in righteousness. God, a lot of us don't measure up to that. But we do in Him. He's our image and we're in Him. He invites us to come inside of Him. He said, I'm your image. I already won this battle. I fulfilled the curse. I fulfilled the righteousness. Then I took your curse. I hung on the tree and now you can come stand in me. And that's what it means to be the righteousness of God in Christ. Not in Chuck, we're righteousness of God in Christ. Right? So we stand in Him. So to obtain the hill of the Lord, we move by faith. That's why you always see us when we're going up. If those of you that follow the mountain, we go up, we go into that throne. We are appropriating. I'm already righteousness. I'm just getting everything inside of me in alignment with Him. I do it by faith in Him. I enter into Him. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. Found in Him, not having our own righteousness. So that is our standing to move into the mountain. We move in by Christ. We don't move in by ourselves. We ascend the mountain of God, not in our own strength. And here's a glorious day. You're going to find along the way, you're going to have a lot of weaknesses. Your faith is what overrides your weaknesses. Because if you live by your weaknesses, you're going to be a yo-yo. You're going to go up and down and sideways. You'll be one of them guys who can throw that yo-yo to the side. You'll be all over. Because if I live according to what I feel or my mistakes, how many of you have ever committed a mistake? What's the first thing you just look at and you want to run, hide? But that's never going to change anything. So you have to take all your mistakes. How about this? You make a huge mistake, but God calls you to His mountain. How am I going to ascend to that mountain when I make huge mistakes in my life and I'm carrying the burden or the weight of these things? Because I'm not perfect. The original lie. If you eat from that tree, you'll be as God. You'll be perfect. And we've all been trying to do that ever since. Can't obtain. If I'm not perfect, how am I going to send the Lord on a daily basis or a continuous basis with my imperfection? In fact, He calls you to where He is. Come boldly, say. There is no throne of grace in the earth. It's in a heavenly realm. He says, come boldly, the throne of grace, that you may what? Obtain mercy. Help. You mean I got to go to God? I got to get out of this jurisdiction, get in His jurisdiction. I got to climb His mountain just so I can find help. And I have to have clean hands and a pure heart while I go do that. But I don't feel like I have clean hands because I got mistakes I'm dealing with, but I got to go to God. How do you do this? F-A-I-G-H. You'll have to learn how to do things by faith. You don't, or you in. You don't, H-I-D-E. You don't hide. You don't run. You have to learn to go to Him in good times and bad times. When you feel and you don't feel it. That's why who's going to send the hill, Lord? He that hath clean hands and pure heart. He's got my clean hands. He's got my pure heart. I'm going to get into Him. And when you learn how to move in Him, He will require it. Because none of you are going to be consistent at this while in the earth. The enemy's going to see to it. You're going to have trouble around your life. In the earth, you'll have tribulation. You'll have to learn to move out of this realm and move out of yourself. And when I get out of myself and get into Him, I'm a beautiful person in Him. I'm awesome-tacious when I'm in Him. We've learned a lot about how to do that. We've learned how to move into Him with a clean hands, pure heart, because we stand in His standing. We move and we wear His robe. We wear His glory. We stand in His light. We move in His marvelous light. We move in His glory. How about this one? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Already dead. The life that I now live is by not just faith, but the faith of the Son of God. You can live in His faith. You don't have to have all your own. You can live in His. Where, who you think you're standing in? You think when you stand in Him, you're standing in His faith. If you get up into Him enough, you'll start moving in His faith. Because you'll move into Him, and that's part of your joint heirship, is you get to partake of everything He is. He gives it to you freely. He's just marvelous that way. There's nobody ever going to love you like the Lord does. He loves you because he's the one that's got to mediate between you and the Father. The Lord can't intercept you. He's the way, the truth, and the life, because sometimes you can't just run up to the Father. Even though the Father loves you, the Lord's the one that's got to deal with your stuff. He invites you into him. He covers you. He washes you. He cleanses you, then presents you. He presents you faultless. By the time you get to the Father, you're perfect. The Father's going, I'm pleased with the Son. I'm pleased with you too, Son. Because you're in him. If you're in Christ, the Father's going to be pleased with you. Because he don't see you the way you see you, because he's seeing you inside a bubble of Christ. Christ is shielding all of your stuff. This is what he does for you. He shields all your issues that needs a lot of tissue. He shields all that. So when the Father's looking at you, he's looking through Christ. And Christ goes, I got you covered. You're in me now. He's pretty strong. He's pretty awesome. So that's what it means to ascend the hill of the Lord. You got to ascend through his righteousness, not yours. Learn how to take your infirmities, weaknesses to God, not to run. I just feel some people want to run. You're going through things and you don't feel. You cannot walk by feeling in this realm. There's so many times, even Anna and I mean, the enemy will come. Man, he's ruthless sometimes. We don't share all the stuff like that. I mean, I'm not going to cover you with all our stuff. But he's ruthless. And sometimes it takes all we got just to move in there. But we go in one way, we come out another, and we'll go, man, he's awesome in that realm. Then we have to come back to the battleground. It's like, but at least we were able to escape into this realm of glory with him. Because he gave us his standing. Can I stay a little longer? Can I hang out a little longer? But that's the glory of being able to move into that realm. Now, I want you to tell you what this real psalm's about. Go back to Psalm 24. Now you do all that, you obtain righteousness, you enter into his righteousness to obtain another righteousness. There's something you're going to get from that realm that belongs to this generation. Look at verse 5 again. He said, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now watch this. Verse 6. Now, I'm going to read verse 6 in another translation. I'm going off the King James reservation for a second. I'll just read from the ESV. So such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek, watch this, the face, this is the true translation, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Very specific. This is a generation that seek the face of the God of Jacob. The reason why he's saying, because this psalm was reverting back to what happened in the Peniel encounter of Jacob. When Jacob got caught up in the face, he said, I will not let go. Wrestled all night, broke his hip joint. He says, I got to go. He says, you're not leaving me till you bless me. That's the kind of resolve that this generation has. To keep his word, to not let go, no matter what, until the blessing shows up. Jacob received the transformational blessing that changed everything. He was a swindler, he was a supplanter, he was a deceiver, and God spoke that day a new name. Created a brand new name out of his own self, Israel. To this day, a whole nation's named after that encounter. He says, as a prince, you have reigned with, your name is no more Jacob, is what he said. Actually, what he actually said, thy name has been Israel. How can he say has been Israel when it's the first time he ever mentioned it? Because he's not standing where Jacob is. He's standing where Jacob will be. But he's standing his own self. God's not limited to time, as we know, so God just translated Jacob out into another realm as an overcomer, as a prince. You have reigned. Your name has been Jacob, but no more are you Jacob. Your name has been Israel. You have reigned with man and with God. Have reigned. You're well-pleasing. This is the guy who was a swindler. You see, if you or me or we If our whole life is centered into the now, we're going to miss what God has. He says there is a generation that will encounter the face of the God of Jacob in the same way Jacob did. And you're going to receive a blessing. There's a blessing coming out. It's not just a blessing. It's more than a blessing. It's a generation against all things that will send the mountain of God in Christ. Here's the true translation. It's a generation that will go before the face of God and receive a transformation outside of anything they've seen before. They're going to go before the face of the God of Jacob, and the whole generation's going to be radically transformed through a transformational glory, a blessing is going to come in a transformational righteousness. What's the difference between that righteousness and the one you ascended with? The one you ascended with was a positional standing you have in Christ. The righteousness you were given on the other side is what we're after, the manifested glory. It's transfiguration glory. It was what was on the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. The generation that will bear the glory of God. The righteousness will manifest. Seen. Glory seen. You see the difference? Manifested glory, not just positional. I'm all, every one of us. Are you all the righteousness of God in this Christ in here? Okay, yeah, but it hadn't manifested. That's a standing I can climb up into Christ all day long, but he wants to climb up into me now. He wants to come down in this jurisdiction and manifest it to where it's seen. Not a righteousness, it's just we walk in the earth and I'm a good person. It's manifested glory. Manifested light breaking out. There's a generation that's going to obtain this. That's going to obtain this radical transformation right in the midst of all the darkness. Isaiah prophesied it. Arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. The glory is seen. So a whole generation will receive this. David was seeing this. But here's the blessing. How many want to be blessed? This blessing is a little different than just being blessed. What you're actually receiving here are three major things. Well, two, and the blessing, and then the transformational glory comes with it. The next part of that psalm is actually what you're going to be receiving. So when you get into the realm, this is what we're after, by the way. Ascending the mountain of God. Why are you doing this every day? Because we're after something. What are we after? This psalm. Wrote a constitution on this psalm right here. Because this psalm is what we're after, but there is a transformation that's going to come with this. But what is he actually saying here? There is a generation that will seek the face, understand, seek, obtain the face of the God of Jacob. This generation will usher in the coming of the Lord. This generation will receive the return of the King of Glory. Okay, he said, who shall ascend? He that hath clean hands, pure heart. This is what you'll receive now. Lift up your head, O you gates. How's he say it exactly? Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your heads, O you everlasting doors. You are a gate and you are a door. He's talking to you. Lift up your head, O you gate. Lift up your heads, O you everlasting doors. Lift up where? All the way into the mountain of God. Bring your gate, bring your door into the mountain of God. Ascend the hill of the Lord, because who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? You, the gate, you, the door, will be lifted up into the mountain of God. Why? So the King of Glory can come in. You'll receive the return of the King of Glory. His crown, his blessing is his crown. And his glory's coming with it is transformational, transfiguration glory. The generation that will obtain the glory in their tabernacle. A generation that will obtain and receive the second coming of the Lord Jesus. His glory, His kingdom, His power. Who is this King of glory? He's coming as the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of the heaven. He's bringing His army with Him. This is a generation that's going to bring Him off His throne. The King of glory, His crown, His throne. His kingdom's coming in to manifest. We're a whole generation. That's what this is about. This whole psalm was about. And look where and how it was going to happen. It was going to happen in the mountain first. Before it got to the earth, it had to happen in the mountain. It had to ascend in the mountain. But how did it happen in the mountain? Once you got there, it was a generation that would seek and obtain the face of the God of Jacob. There were a generation that would stand there and not let go. The same way that Jacob would not let go. Be tested to the nth degree. God Himself was wrestling with Jacob. That wasn't an angel. That was God Himself. He goes, I saw God face to face. He named the place Peniel, I mean face to face. He stood there in Genesis 32 and let me go. He says, no. He touched the hollow of his thigh, broke his hip joint. He said, I still won't let you go till you bless me. There is a divine faith. There is a faith that will stand forever to see it. But there's a generation that's going to usher His return. Who is the gate? You are. Who is the door? You are. Who's He coming through? You. We, the people, His people in the earth are ushering in His return. His church will be the first part of that to manifest His glory. Before He steps foot upon the Mount of Olives, He will manifest His glory through His people, through His gates, through the everlasting doors. We're going to bring Him up into glory and stand there until we receive the transformation from the God of Jacob. I won't let go till you come and bless us with the crown that we're looking at. I won't let go till you come and bring that crown into the earth. I won't let go until that transformational glory that is upon us. I won't let go until you come and transform this body. That's a generation that will obtain that. Little different than going to church. Amen? A little different than, well, time for the rapture. Not yet. The kings and priests have to rule and reign in the earth. A generation has to come before the face of God and receive the blessing. A generation, somebody who understands what's coming. Somebody who understands what's happening. Somebody understands what's going on in the heavens. What's bringing bright. Listen, He took David's throne literally. The Bible specifically said in Acts chapter 2, they were prophesying that Christ sat upon David's throne. There would not be a man to fail to sit upon the throne. Christ was sitting on his throne. He was not sitting on David's throne in the earth. And spake of the resurrection when Christ in Daniel 7 ascended before the Ancient of Days. There was given Him a glory, a kingdom, and a dominion. It was an everlasting dominion. That is when God reassigned the throne of David and took it to the heavens and He spiritualized it. Took the crown, took the throne. The house, the royalty, everything became invisible to the natural eye. It all became spiritual. God did something pretty miraculous. He took all that natural element and He transformed it. David, Christ, when He ascended, He sat upon a spiritual throne, wore a spiritual crown. Ruled and reigned over a spiritual house. Isaiah said, the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David to establish it forever. The government comes out from that place. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that's part of it. Christ took all that up there. And God kind of did a reverse transformation there. Took natural and made it spirit. We're always wanting spirit to come natural. God took all that natural and spirit He sits on a literal throne with a literal crown, with a literal scepter. But it's spiritual. See what God did there? Now, 2,000 years later, God's got to take all that spiritual throne, spiritual scepter, spiritual crown, spiritual house, and bring it all back into the earth and reconvert it to natural. The King of Glory is coming in, but he's going to proceed. So all of that house, Revelation chapter 3, go there, I'll close with it. Christ did all that with his faith, but now he has to have a people in the earth that understand the times and season they live in, because he has to bring all that back down. He's not going to bring it in. He has to have a people represent, because there has to be a conversion. God doesn't do anything in the earth without faith. There has to be another conversion. There was a conversion from natural to spiritual, now spiritual back to natural. It has to come back and manifest into the earth. Spiritual things have to manifest and be seen in the earth. To bring back the throne, the crown, the house, the treasuries, the glory, all must manifest back into this realm. See what God's doing? That's what we're doing here. That's what we're carrying, a word for the house. It's a house of royalty. It's to manifest that royalty into the earth. Everyone say, I am royalty. We're a peculiar royalty. God is called this little church to carry this word all these years and lay a foundation for what? The house. Well, the Christ has already been, we're not talking about laying a foundation, our salvation. That's not what he's talking about. He's got to bring that house back in. He's going to rule from that house for 1,000 years, but he's got to get it out from that throne down here. And he's calling people to do that. And that's what we're called to do. If you want the simplest version of our calling, that's it. Amen? That's as simplest as I can make it. In Revelation 3, I want you to just look at this. Isaiah 9, verse 6. I want you to look at the very words here. Very important to understand this. This is the blessing that we're receiving. We're sending, we're an end time special forces called to ascend the mountain of God for a special purpose. Hidden from most people, we are called to ascend to that mountain to receive the blessing for our generation, the transformational glory that comes with it, to usher the King of Glory from his throne into the earth, to reconvert that which was natural made spiritual. Now it must be made natural again, because time for the crown to return, time for the house to return, time for the king to return, time for his throne to be seen among men. God's doing a lot of reverse spiritual action here. Natural to spiritual, spiritual to natural. How he took all that throne, he did it. God gave him, he reassigned it. He said he gave him a kingdom of glory forever upon the throne of David he sits. David probably did a head spin on that one. You saw Solomon's throne. Have you ever studied Solomon's throne? He had 12 golden lions. Pearl. I mean, just had a solid pearl. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, an heir. The heir was given. He died. He resurrected. Now watch, the government now is upon his shoulders. Amen. Ting ding. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting. This is where the oneness people get in. See, the Son is the Father. He's the Everlasting Father. Well, if you go read down to Isaiah 23, talking about when Eliakim, Shebna gets fired and Eliakim gets hired, he'll be a father. He's being a father over the church. There's three of them up there, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not the same person. They're three different entities that make one God. One in everything they do. Had a friend. He's in heaven now. Oh, is he blowing a trumpet in heaven? Michael Jones. He said, Luke, he goes, I got some people need to hear what you got to say. He goes, they're in Dallas. He's the old timers. Nothing's happening in Dallas without their say so. He goes, they do a Bible study, been doing it for 20 years. I was going down there to preach Mount Hebron. I was Mount Hebron in. I was ready to go. I had my notes, everything. I was ready to go. Went to this house. We were in there. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of whatever they were doing, worship, God changes my message. And I start talking about this. And I start talking about how Christ ascended before the throne. Because the Father said, the Lord said, my Father will send the Holy Spirit. Then in another verse, he said, I'll send him. And so I'm breaking this down. I'm thinking, they're going to love this. Who sent the Holy Spirit? Was it the Father? Was it the Son? The both of them sent, because the Father sent him to Christ in his ascension. He sent, and then Christ sent him to the church. They do things by order there. But all three of them had a part. And I'm going through this, and the more I preached, the heavier that place got. I thought these were Holy Ghost people. Man, I was done. The place, it was the worst ending ever. I just had to close it. They had all this beautiful food there. None of them were talking to me. Not a single person wanted, nobody liked no good message or nothing like that. If I'd have done Mount Hebron, we would have been, they would have loved that. If I'd start prophesying to them, they'd love that. Just don't talk about the Trinity, because they were oneness people. And they didn't believe in the Trinity. And the guy handed me a stack of literature on leaving. He goes, you need to study this young man. It was all about oneness theology. And they based so much of it on that one scripture. But the Son, see, he's the everlasting Father. But he says in Isaiah 20, I'll be a father to the inhabitants of Israel. Moral of the story, follow the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you'll get kicked out. Sometimes you'll be unloved. It's just going to happen. Name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase. Look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Does that sound like his earthly ministry or his heavenly ministry? Upon what? I thought David's throne was a natural throne. And upon his kingdom to order it, establish it with judgment, with justice, henceforth, even forever. In Acts chapter 2, said, spake of the resurrection of Christ. There's not been a man failed to sit upon the throne of David. This Christ has ascended into the heavens, sitting on the throne of David. God took the throne, the crown, you see the point? Took it up into the heavens. It's all spiritual. That's why you got to get in the spirit to understand it. So when you see the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, having seven eyes and seven horns that's on him, you got to understand what's sitting on him. Seven eyes, the perfection of wisdom. The seven horns, perfection of dominion. God recrowned him. God did something with that crown. He perfected it. When he ascended in the ancient days, the Father took all that, perfected, and set a new crown on him. With the house of David, the seven spirits of God. Now, the final last days, go to Revelation 3. This is our call to stand in the face of God and not let go. Christ inherits it all. I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, and inherit are my mountains. And he takes it up into the heavens. Why did he do that? He took it all up there so the devil could never steal it. He wasn't going to bring it back in the earth till the time that he would come back. His return. Who is this? Lift up your head, O gates. Lift up your head, O everlasting doors. You're the generation called to receive the King of glory. He will come in. He's talking about coming in here to our jurisdiction. He's going to stand up from his throne. He's going to step down into our jurisdiction. He's bringing his angels. He's bringing his army. He's bringing the chariots. He's bringing the mighty seven spirits of God, the final stone that's going to crush the feet of clay. And all nations are going to submit to his rule. Final verse, Revelation 3, verse 7. And the angel's messenger, same word for John. We are messengers of the church of Philadelphia. There's no doubt about that. we have a lot of messages. We may not be the only messengers, but we are messengers. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. It's actually the key of the house. He has the key to the house. If you'll lift up your everlasting door, he's going to insert his key into your door. Open it and come in. He's got the key. He needs the doors to come up. He needs the everlasting doors to come up. And then he's going to insert the key, open the door, and set before you the open door. And no man can shut it. You have had little strength, but you've what? Kept my word. You've not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. You know who that is? That's the Babylonian harlot and those who serve her, which say they are Jews, but are not. They do lie. I will make them come and worship before thy feet. They're not going to come worship at your feet. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the system will bow down at what you're carrying. The crown is greater than you, and the systems of this world will bow down before it. In fact, this crown will crush the systems eventually. But for our jurisdiction as a church, God's going to invade the systems. They're going to bow. We're in direct season right now. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I sure wish he wouldn't have said that part. I can keep the word, but the word of my patience, not our patience, his patience. The word of my patience, Lord, I ran out of my patience 20 years ago. Yeah, he goes, we're going to deal with the word of my patience. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation that should come upon the whole world. What hour you think he's talking about? Tribulation hour. End time church. You're going to be kept from it. Watch this. The try them dwell on the earth. Behold, if that wasn't going to convince you, the next verse, I come quickly now. Hold fast to that which you have. Let no man take your crown. It's the only church given a crown in the earth. The Lord sent his crown in front of his own self. Lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up your head, you everlasting doors. He's got a key and he's inserting. He wants to come now in. He's setting his crown in front. We are the generation called to receive it. We are the house called to receive it. It's a glorious thing. It's a very unusual thing. You go to a very peculiar church. But we're here for a purpose. We're not here to just grow for the sake of growing. To have a bunch of baby believers that don't know what we're talking about. God keeps us like we are to learn and understand, so to bring us together. If things start moving here that's not in a state of union, God has a sword and he cuts it out. And it's painful sometimes to watch that happen. But sometimes people will come in and want to shift it to another direction. And God said, nope, I'm not going that direction. I'll stay right in this direction until you do what I want you to do. Could you tell me when he wants to do it? If he'll answer that question, I'll let you know. For right now, he keeps us in faith. My favorite part is the beginning of every year, when I stand right here in front of Pastor Chuck and say, Chuck, this is our year. Right now, we're still in this year, so he crowns our year with goodness. That's what I stand on. And if he should tarry, hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully this is the season of the crowning. And come January 1st, this is our year. And it's going to be until that crown comes out of heaven. There's no other place I can go. This is who we are. Year after year, day after day. But along the way, he gives us some serious treasure. Along the way, we have some serious revelations. And we get the awesome opportunity to usher in the seven spirits of God. A crown was given. It's already happened in heaven. It's going to happen here. We are going to receive the first fruits of the crown of the house of David. We are royalty. That's part of our transformation. Going to the gate of transformation. Listen to what I'm saying. This is the generation that will pass before the God of the face of Jacob. Our transformation is to be transformed into royalty and to walk in royalty in the earth. Wealth, glory, wisdom, all of it. The glory of the latter day house of David that's coming in the earth will be greater than Solomon's house. And that was some serious, serious glory on Solomon's house. Nobody has touched Solomon's house. No generation's touched it. Not even come close. It's not going to happen until that crown comes out into the earth. This is who we are. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.